This is the My Morning Show with Bobby and Liberty on My 105.3 on a feel-good Friday morning.
We're kind of starstruck, but also scared to death at the same time.
Yeah, I don't know how good Liberty is feeling right now because she's got a, she's got essentially a tarantula sitting just about a foot from her, brought in by our friend Kevin Wiener, who is the Kevin from All Bugs Go to Kevin. Now, you've probably seen this on Facebook because your Facebook group has over 320,000 members. Just know that Kevin, the namesake of that Facebook group, is from here in Evansville, and he's with us now on the My Morning Show. So first of all, thank you for coming in early with us on a Feel Good Friday morning, Kev.
It's my pleasure.
How's it grown so much? Do you know?
Started it all because I was afraid of all this stuff, and I got a job in pest control, and initially I was just trying to learn more to get better at my job, and in the process I started to realize that a lot of the things that I was afraid of and that people even called pests were not always a pest, and that really it comes down to a more situational thing than the animal being bad in itself just for existing. But you know, I wanted to start a place once I started to realize the importance of these animals where people could come and talk about them, and we kind of took away the bite stories and the negativity. We just want to talk about real information and keep it positive because that's what helped me overcome the fears. And there's bad things that can happen with bugs, but in most cases, they just don't even want to be in our space.
Right.
And spiders is pretty much the number one fear that people come into All Bugs Go to Kevin with.
Face your fear a little bit and realize it's maybe not so bad, yeah?
Right. Okay. And the goal is just to help people get real information. And then my goal is to, you know, and our goal, I should say, with All Bugs Go to Kevin is to really try to help show them some truth behind this stuff without all of the hyperbolic information that scares people. And that's kind of why I was where I was at. You know, my grandmother basically would say things that had me believing they would lay eggs in my brain when I sleep if they got in the house.
Yes.
You know, not quite that bad. Sorry, Grandma. Saying, okay, you know what, I'm a little afraid, but I'm going to go out and I'm going to photograph this spider. I'm going to photograph this bee or whatever. And then everything turning out okay. And then they come share their story. And then the members build them up and say, yay, you did it. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
And you've got this support. And people who came in loving this stuff, you know, they're supporting those people, but they also have a place that they can share this stuff with joy and not have people coming in telling them it's ugly, it's stupid, why are you posting this? And a lot of people get that on their personal pages with
them. And a lot of people come to your page, your group, to identify something. Mm. I think everybody thinks every spider is a black widow or a brown recluse, and that's just not the case.
Brown recluse especially.
Yeah, especially for Indiana, you know, brown recluses are pretty common.
Mm-hmm, especially southern Indiana.
And you see a spider and you instantly start looking for the little violin. Well, that kind of looks like a violin
on
its back.
Is it a clarinet? What am I supposed to be looking for? Harmonica? I don't know.
There's been a lot of talk, like we've said, here in southern Indiana about brown recluses and what to do with them. If you see one, should you just squash it? Are there more humane ways to take care of it or to get rid of it, to avoid getting bitten? What would you say to folks that encounter brown recluses?
You know, the first thing I think is a proper inspection needs to be done to see just the level of infestation you have. And
if I see one, does that mean there's seven behind the wall?
It could mean that, but
I just made that up. I don't know.
They could mean that, but it also could just mean that you brought something in that had them on it. So bites are incredibly rare. I'm going to show you their behavior.
Yeah, just so you know, if there's a percentage, any kind of percentage of something going wrong, it's going to happen to this one right here.
Well, so, I can tell you,
I'm rethinking everything now.
I'm not rethinking a thing. and the thing is that, you know, I've done this, done events where more than 10,000 people came through in like a open house style presentation type thing. So just group after group after group, and never a bad situation. Now, having said that, it's important to realize that if you mess with any living thing, that you can receive whatever defense they have. And
sure.
So every time I do one of these demonstrations, I understand that there is a potential for harm here. And my goal isn't to get people out there holding brown recluse and playing with them. It's not that at all. It's just simply so they can see me do it and see that I'm safe and how they're reacting to a human being.
Right.
Then if they see one on their floor, they know that they're probably okay.
Yeah. Like you said, the perception versus the reality of brown recluse is just attacking people willy-nilly. It's not really the case. You've already told us some stuff this morning that I had no idea about. You know, misinformation is really easy to believe sometimes.
And I'm happy to get you information if people are
He's happy
interested.
To give you some if you would like some for your home, Bobby.
No, some information. If information is something that you seek, I mean, you can go to allbugsgotokevin.com or you can go to allbugsgotokevin.com. That will lead you to all my stuff.
Yeah.
But if you go to allbugsgotokevin on Facebook, we have a section just for brown recluse so people can go in there, dive in, and learn a little bit more. Also on a documentary that can be found on Facebook that was done by a guy named Travis McEnery. And if you look up, that's the name of his Facebook is his name. But he has a series called These Are the Spiders in Your House. And he's in Canada, and they don't have brown recluse in Canada. But he wanted to do a really good job at helping people understand this spider. And I think he did that. And it's not because he asked me to be on it. He had the world's foremost expert on the spider there to really help with insight. And I played a small role in showing behavior and talking a little bit about the control side of things. But he really did a great job at telling the story of the reality of the harm that the spider can cause, but also the reality of that even happening and things that are really important for people to know.
Kevin, can you sense anything from the spiders?
Can I sense
Is
anything?
Your spidey sense going off you right know, now with being this close to Liberty?
I think that
Please
you
tell
to,
me it's the first time you've ever heard this joke.
I think you actually have to be bitten to get the spidey okay, senses. Okay.
See, and remember he just said that's
I know,
not
but I
a
didn't
thing
know,
that happens.
Maybe that's part of the fairy tale as well.
I have never been bitten by any spider.
I feel like we should all knock on wood. Like, I mean, well, I just you know, feel like we should.
It could happen because I do things to handle them.
Right.
But spider bites occur when they get trapped against the skin in clothes, shoes, or bed, statistically. So getting back to the brown recluse, this is where you can protect yourself. They can't climb slick surfaces. I intentionally have a brown recluse in a glass container here just so that I can show that you know, I can take the lid off. I could have left the lid off for the entire conversation. Libby would not appreciate that, but I could have done that. And it's not going to escape because it can't climb the glass. And so knowing this, there's things, you know, if you keep your bed away from the wall and you don't have
you
bed
sleep
skirts,
on a bed of glass.
sleep on a bed of glass. But no, if you keep your bed away from the wall and the bed skirts, if you have them, you know, an inch and a half, 2 inches off the floor, then you already take away their ability to climb the wall and bridge the gap if your bed's touching the wall or grabbing a hold of a skirt and then climbing a bed skirt. Let me be specific. grabbing a hold of a bed skirt and climbing up, you know. And so there's two things there. Now, the one thing is if they can climb your bedpost. Now, if those are too slick and you're not a messy sleeper, you know, your blanket's half on the floor, half on the bed to bridge the gap, you can actually prevent them even getting into bed. And with clothes, shoes, and bed being the most common ways that bites occur, I can check my shoes, I can check my clothes, but bed is where I lose a little control. So now, if we do this, we can gain some control and feel a little bit better. So for people who don't want to use pesticides, there are ways that you can be preventative. It's not going to do anything about controlling populations of brown recluse, but it's definitely going to help give you some peace of mind. There's a house in Kansas, and I can't remember the exact numbers, the years when it happened, but there's like a good stretch, close to a decade, where they were just seeing tons and tons of brown recluse. For a while, they didn't realize that's what they were seeing, but then once it was realized, a university got involved and they did a study and they found, I think it was around 2,000 brown recluse in this house in a couple months' time. And nobody was ever harmed. No one ever had an unexplained skin condition or anything like that. And even when I would go into homes with people who had brown recluse infestations, when I asked, have you ever had a confirmed bite? Like, the answer was usually no. It's just that fear.
Yeah.
And people want some peace of mind. And I think education is a big part of that. If you need to take steps because you have high concentrations in your home and call pest control, you know, there's a reason pest control exists. It's just, it's not always needed for all the things that people are concerned about from my experience. It's usually fear issues that people have more than pest issues. German cockroaches are a problem and bed bugs are a problem. Termites are a problem. But if a spider comes in under your door, sometimes a new door seal could be all you need instead of spraying pesticides. So those are the things that I try to get people to think about is, do I need this service or not? Because pesticides kill most animals. Arthropods make up most animal life. they're made to kill arthropods, and they also, the broad spectrums that most people most commonly use, kill more than that. They're harmful to aquatic life and so much more. And then they are, you're taking away food from all of nature, from most of nature, by killing bugs. And so working in pest control, seeing what pesticides do, and then just knowing the things I know now. Pesticides are something that we need because sometimes we need to control situations, but I do think we need to be very thoughtful about how we do it.
We're talking with Kevin Wiener, who is the namesake of All Bugs Go to Kevin. See? All Bugs Go to Kevin. Very popular Facebook page / group. Kevin, the first time that that I remember meeting you, we met you at an event.
STEM Fest.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Didn't even realize that you were the Kevin. Right? So my question is, do you do things like that? Do you travel around to different events and shows is the right word, bringing animals and critters and information with you so you can share that information with folks? And if so, is that something that people book you for, or how's that come to be?
Thanks for asking. A year ago, I decided to leave pest control and essentially take on the U.S., and my goal is to add arthropod programs all over the United States. And I do everything from programs with live animals to guided hikes. I've even been asked to be a keynote speaker for two different events next year. If it pertains to bugs and education, I'm interested. So if you want something like that in your school, for your homeschool groups, or Boy Scout organizations, nature organizations, whatever it may be, with these animals being part of the 97% of invertebrates that make up the animals of the world, I think that it's important that we have more of this kind of education in these places, because the 3% is what's most covered, the 3% that people love and see as cute and fuzzy or whatever. And those are important too, and I love them as well, but we really need to be talking more about the stuff that supports all of that as well.
So just reach out to you, start on your Facebook page and...
I probably should have hit with that first. So you can reach out to me through allbugsgotokevin.com. That's a great hub because it has a place where you can email me. And that is really, you can message me through Messenger, but email is just typically where I end up sending most people to have further correspondence. So
okay. Do you have anything else, Lib?
I was just watching a spider climb and it's freaking me out. Not because I'm scared of it. It's just giant looking.
Do you have anything else you want to...
Oh, about here right now?
For the interview or...
Are you afraid to ask any more questions because of what might come out?
No. I'm most afraid of ants and slugs, so you didn't bring any of that. That's fine.
So that's the next time I come in, we'll talk about that.
Do you want me to wrap up the interview is my question to you.
I'm going
to
wrap up with...
Okay.
So we've been talking about Mr. and Mrs. Brown Recluse that we have here. We've got a couple helping that population there. But has anybody ever found like a tarantula? I can't even say it right. Tarantula in like the wild here in southern Indiana. Touched his cage and I got scared.
There are no known species of tarantula in Indiana.
So if someone has one, they're a pet.
Yes. There are other spiders that are related to tarantulas that you can find in Indiana that are quite cool. There's something called a purse web spider, trapdoor spiders. I'm sure you may have heard of trapdoor spiders, and a lot of people, when they realize that you can find them here, are just in shock.
I didn't know that either.
I got lucky enough, we didn't find it, but we went to look for a species of trapdoor spider that was only seen once in Indiana. It's in a genus that has never been found in Indiana before or after. And the last time it was found was 1906. And so I got to go with two arachnologists and then a friend of mine who's a bug nerd and photographer like I am. And we went out and we got to go search and see if we could find it. We found tons of trapdoor spiders and purse web spiders, but not the trapdoor spider we wanted. Still a great experience though. So,
well, if you couldn't tell, this guy is a wealth of bug knowledge. His name is Kevin Wiener. He is the man behind All Bugs Go to Kevin. Allbugsgotokevin.com, which will lead you to the Facebook group. Over 320,000 members. Become One Yourself. It's a really, really cool site. Lots of really cool information there. I'm going to go ahead and say now, I appreciate you bringing in these spiders that you brought. We're going to get some video of Liberty interacting with a tarantula and maybe a brown recluse. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to see that. Can't wait to see what happens there. I don't plan on interacting with it, but I know Liberty will.
Has to hold the camera.
On it at the moment.
I have to record it. So, Kevin, thank you so much for coming in, man. This is really cool to meet you again.
It's my pleasure. And I just appreciate you having me and help giving me a little bit of exposure too, because this means a lot to me. And I see what it's done for other people, and so I hope more people get drawn in and turn their fear to fascination.
Just stop bugging us with it, would you?
Oh, stop it.
Oh, I know.
Man, come on.
He hasn't heard any of those puns ever.
Ever. I've never even said them once.
Stop it. All bugs go to kevin.com. Check it out.